This morning we have finally arrived at the fifth purpose. And we have saved the best and the worst for last. I say the worst because this is the purpose that most Christian people assiduously avoid doing because it scares us. But we've spent the last few weeks looking at the different purposes God has for your life. And we've learned that life is really preparation for what? Eternity. Thank you. A few of you are awake. Good. Very good. God wants us to practice here on earth to get ready to be with Him forever in eternity. And we looked at the first purpose, which was to worship and to show our love to God. And our second purpose was to fellowship, which was learn to love one another. And our third purpose was discipleship, which is learning to become like Christ. And our fourth purpose we looked at last week is ministry, which is sharing the love of Christ through my shape, my spiritual gifts, my heart, my abilities, my personality, and my experiences with other people. And we've done all that, and we've come this far, and now we stand ready to begin looking at the fifth purpose of life, and which is the mission, the fact that we have all been made for a mission. That's what we're going to talk about this morning, and I'd like to ask you to join me in prayer as we begin. Lord, thank you for letting us all be here today. I thank you, God, for the work that you've done in so many lives and hearts throughout the last 5 weeks. And I pray that as we look towards concluding all of this coming week, that you will let us end strong, Father. Help us to finish the race. Help us to continue to learn and to grow and to not only find out about our purposes, but seek to fulfill them by following Jesus. This morning, Lord, I pray you'll open all of our hearts to hear what the Word of God has to say to us. And I ask you, Lord, that your Spirit would move in our midst. Take these truths and burn them deeply into our minds and into our hearts and into our souls. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This purpose we're going to talk about today is one purpose that you're going to do here on earth that you will not be able to do in heaven. And it's this simple purpose, as Jesus said. Jesus said, Jesus said, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. That's the Message paraphrase of part of the high priestly prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17. Last week we talked about how God has called every believer to have a ministry in the church. And that means that every believer is going to be different ministries, because we're all different people. So our ministries will be very different. But every believer has been given the same mission by God. It's the same mission. Now it takes different forms and different appearances, but it's always the same mission, and it's simply this. Jesus said that as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. This mission that God has for us is a personal mission that God has given to you and to me. And so it's important, and it's vital for our lives. Look what Paul said here in Acts chapter 20. He said, the most important thing, you might want to underline that, most important thing. What's the most important thing in your life? In a sense, we were referring to that during the greeting when he said, I love you, man, but you can't have my... Okay, there you go. That shows what's important to you. What's important to Paul? The most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me. What is that? What is the mission? What is the work? To tell people the good news about God's grace. Paul felt that this was the most important thing in his life. This was the mission. This was the work that God had called him to. Now, I hate to say this, but it's true that in most churches in America, this is the weakest area in our lives, both as individuals and as churches. And over the course of the next months and year, I hope that God will stir all of us and motivate all of us to begin to really reach out and begin to share the love and the grace of Jesus Christ with everyone that we come into contact with, because this is the mission that we all have. Like I said, we will accomplish this mission in different ways and maybe even in different places, but this is the mission. So my fifth purpose, very simply, is to share the good news. Now, we have a word for that. That's called evangelism. That's what's on the back of my jersey here for today. And like all the other words that we've looked at through this whole 40 days of purpose, evangelism is a word that's not well understood by people. Evangelism, when I say it, conjures up pictures in your mind, and it's a little bit different than maybe for you. But I think for a lot of people, you know, you just picture some guy, some big, fat, sweaty guy on TV yelling and screaming at you and mopping his brow and yelling about television and asking you to send his money and your money into him and, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And you think of evangelism, you think of tent revivals and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, when you look at the actual, what the word actually means, the Greek word, it simply means good news. Evangelism comes from evangelion, which is the Greek word for good news. The Bible says that once I know the good news that God loves me and that he has a purpose and a plan for my life and that Jesus died on the cross to save me and that he rose from the dead so that we might have a new relationship with God and live forever, what does God want me to do? Well, one of the things God wants me to do, my mission in life, is to pass that good news on to other people. Very simple and very logical, and it makes perfect sense when you think about it. So you might be thinking, okay, well, where do I do this? Well, that depends on your situation. Where do you do it? Jesus said, famous verse of scripture here, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Okay, we've got three different geological or geographical locations there. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So let's just take a look at these for a minute and try and figure out what these could be. Now, there's different ways of looking at this, but here's how I'm going to look at it this morning. First of all, Jerusalem equals the people closest to me because Jesus said this in Jerusalem. So the place that I start in my outreach to people should be the people around me. For some of you, this will be people in your home. Some of you live with people that don't know the Lord. Your children, your parents, whoever. For some of you, it's people that maybe that you're good friends with, that you work with, that you maybe are involved in a sport or a hobby with. But these are the people that are nearest to you, closest to you. Now, Judea, Samaria represents people who are near but different than you. The Samaritans were very different than Jews, and when Jesus told this to his disciples, even though they may not have fully grasped it, they had become different from the Jews because now they were following Jesus. So these are the people who are near me, a little further a bit out, but they're still near me, but they're different from me because they don't know Jesus. And finally, there's the ends of the earth. That's everybody else. Now, God has called us to reach out to all these groups of people. And I'm using the word mission, which is often misunderstood because we think of missions. When I say mission, you might think missionary. But I'm not just talking about missionaries. I'm talking about your mission in life is to share the good news, whether you do it here or whether you do it somewhere else. Now, in a little less than 2 weeks, I'm going to Myanmar. And I will be in Myanmar for 3 weeks and on a what we call a short-term mission trip. Okay? And I'll be over there teaching and encouraging the believers and encouraging them and helping equip them so that they can reach out to their culture because we're not allowed to over there. And that's what you might think of as missions. But you know what? Sharing Christ here, that's your mission too. Jesus calls us to share. He doesn't say he wants us to be his defense attorney. He doesn't say he wants us to be a prosecutor. He doesn't say he wants us to be a salesman either. I think a lot of us don't share our faith because we feel like we've got to sell this to people and we don't know how. That is not your call in life. You do not become a salesman. He wants you to be a witness. He wants you to be a witness. Why does he say this? Well, if you go back to our second week, remember that God is building a family? Remember, that's fellowship. It's a family of God. God is building a family of people who love him and trust him. And our job is to encourage and welcome new people into that family. That's what the mission is all about. Look at this verse. This was God's plan, Paul says, for all of history, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. God has chosen us to complete the mission. Jesus Christ started the mission when he was on earth, and right before he ascended into heaven, he handed the mission off to you and me. I heard a story it's not true, but it's just an interesting story about God in heaven, before Jesus came to earth, was telling the angels what was about to happen. And he said, so here's the plan. Jesus is going to come, and he's going to go down, he's going to die, and he's going to come back to life and come back. And then we're going to let the people there that follow Jesus share the good news about Christ with everybody else. And one of the angels said, but Lord, what if they don't do it? What if they don't share the good news? What's plan B? What's your fallback plan, God? God said, there is no plan B. And there's not. If we don't share the good news, angels aren't going to fly out of heaven with a big banner and fly across the sky. Doesn't happen that way. They could, but they're not going to, because this was given to us to do. So you and I then must learn to complete our mission. And that's what we want to talk about. To complete my mission, I must share with those in my world. Let's start at home, first of all. Now, why don't we do this? Why is it so hard for most Christians to share their faith? Well, I believe that for some of us, we believe this myth that's floating around in modern America that most people aren't interested in spiritual issues. But you know what? Every poll that's been taken in the last 20 years shows conclusively that people are interested. Gallup did a poll a few years ago. He discovered that 65 million Americans have no church home. 34 million of them said they would go to church if someone would invite them. 34 million are waiting for an invitation. Now, I know that some of those people are lying just to sound good to the pollsters. So cut it in half. That's still an awful lot of people. And some of them are probably people that you and I know. Another Gallup poll said that teenagers would rather talk about God than sex, drugs, or music. You might be thinking, well, what teenagers is he talking to? Well, that's what he found in his survey. Yeah, of course, kids are interested in all those things, but they're also interested in the big picture as well. The big picture. And so God wants us to finish our mission by sharing the gospel. Look at this verse. Go back home and tell people how much God has done for you. So the man went all over town telling how much Jesus had done for him. That's what we're supposed to do. We're just supposed to go tell people what Jesus had done for us. It's very, the essence, the core of your mission is simple. Don't overcomplicate it. Now, how are we going to do that? Here's one of the ways I like to share my faith. I did not get cards of this done up this week, but if you're interested in this, if enough of you are interested, we can make some. It's a very simple way to do it. It's just taking the word basis and using that as an acrostic to explain the gospel. I modified this from something I've seen other places. And the B in basis stands for believe. You've got to believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead and showed me he was God by coming back to life. And there's the scripture reference, 1 Corinthians 15. That's where it all starts. You've got to believe that, but you can't leave it there. The A in basis is you have to accept God's free forgiveness for my sins. It has to be personal. It can't simply be something that I believe, but I don't make a personal part of my life. And then the first S in basis means to switch to God's plan for my life. That's repentance. And the I in basis stands for inform others of my decision. That is confession. And the final S is submerge. Submerge myself in Christ. Be baptized into Christ. It's very simple. That's the gospel message right there. It's simple, folks. God made it simple. You and I complicate it. God makes it simple. And we are called to go out and share this simple message. This simple message with the people around us. That's what we're called to do. We are called to share this simple message. Look what it says here. I love this verse. It says, be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have in you. Now, this is a verse I know that's been used here at KCC for years, and that's exactly what it means to share the good news. It simply means to just explain why you believe what you believe. Now, we just went through what we believe in basis. That's what Christians believe. The question is, why do I believe it? I need to be able to explain to people why. Most Christians don't know what they believe, and the little bit of what they believe that they do know, they couldn't tell you in 100 years why they believe it, which is why so many Christians are sucked into the cults, because they have no basis for their faith. So to establish a real spiritual basis, you do those things that I said, but then you also figure out why this is true, which means you dig into God's Word, and you study, and you learn, and you grow, and you're blessed. Now, why do we do this? Why is it so important to have this mission? It's so unpopular today to say this in this country, because you would say, well, other people have their religions, and you should just leave them alone. I remember a couple years ago when those two women missionaries in Afghanistan were arrested and thrown in jail, and there was all this controversy over it, and they finally released them. I remember listening to some talk radio shows. They were talking about it, and a lot of the callers called in and saying, well, what were they doing over there anyway? Those people have their religion. Why were they over there? They should just leave them alone. It's their fault they're in jail. Let them be. Who cares about them? See? We don't get it. The mission is to share the good news. And we have to do this with people. We have to. Why? Here's why. God does not want anyone to be lost, but he wants all people to change their hearts and lives. God wants people to come to know Christ and to be saved. He doesn't want them to go into eternity without Christ. The question that I have to ask myself this morning is, do I have that same passion and compassion for my neighbors and my co-workers who don't know the Lord? You know, Jesus comes to us and he says, I love you this much. When he hung on the cross, he showed his love to the world. The question I have to ask myself this morning, and you have to ask yourself, is how much do you love the world? What are you willing to do? How much do you love the people in your life? But we cannot stop with just our own little personal circle of friends, because God calls us outward. God says that I must dare to reach beyond my world. Love demands that I move beyond my comfort zone to people with different backgrounds, different education, different languages, different economics, different cultures. You see, our mission has such eternal consequences, heaven and hell, that we must be willing to risk anything to get the message out and to tell people about Christ. Think about it. If you discovered a cure for AIDS, would you not want to tell everyone about it? Sure you would. Of course you would. Well, it's the same with the gospel message. We have the good news that people need to hear, and God tells us we have to share that message with other people. Look at this. Whatever a person is like, I try to find common ground with him so that he will let me tell him about Christ and let Christ save him. That was Paul's plan. Paul's plan was to be what we would call today, a dirty little term that no one likes to use anymore, and I don't use very often, but I'm just going to use it today just for kicks. Paul was seeker sensitive. Paul adopted his own customs and his own way of living so that people could hear him when he spoke. So when he went to talk to Gentiles, he didn't walk in as a Jew and say, oh, I can't eat that meat, that's unclean, what's wrong with you? That's disgusting. Well, if he had done that, would he ever preach the gospel to even one Gentile? Not likely. So instead, when he went to the Gentiles, he sat down and he ate pork. Oh, man, gross. But he did it, even as a good Jew, because he was a good Christian first. He was willing to stretch out beyond his comfort zone to share the love of Christ. And that's why Jesus said, go. He said, go. You know, you can't spell the word gospel without go in it. The word gospel means to go. We've got to go. We've got to reach out. We've got to share with other people who are not like us. Look at this verse. I like this. This is the message paraphrase of Galatians 6, 2. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. You know, you don't have to leave this town to do that. You can donate a sleeping bag as a way to reach out. Or maybe you can go with Melissa and Shelby and go meet some of these people and give out sleeping bags to them and other stuff and talk to them and share the love of Christ with them. That's what it means to reach out. You can reach out in all sorts of different ways. Look at this verse. Real religion, according to James, is the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight. You know, Jesus was always involved with reaching out to the underdogs, to the people that society and religion rejected. Those were the first people that Jesus took the good news to. The widowed, the old, the orphans, the lame, the sick, the outcast, the lepers, who were the worst of the worst. Look at this passage that Jesus shares with us here. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. There's a famous story about Fulton Sheen. I don't know if you've ever heard this. Fulton Sheen was an archbishop. He was famous in this country because he was really the first religious broadcaster on television nationwide. He broadcast for years. And one day he was visiting a leper colony in Africa. And he was repulsed by what he saw because these people were just lying there. They not only had leprosy, but other diseases as well, of course. And they had these open sores, oozing sores with pus coming out of them. And it was just awful. The smell was horrible. And he was just, it just broke his heart to see this. And he walked by one man who was lying there. And he not only had leprosy, but he had open wounds. festering on his legs and on his arms and everything. And Fulton Sheen leaned over to speak to him. And as he did, the cross that he wore around his neck broke, the chain broke, and the little cross fell into an open wound on this man's body. And Sheen said that at first, he said, you know, for a minute, I was just repulsed. I just kind of wanted to step back. And then all of a sudden, I was filled, I was overcome with this love for this person who had nothing. And so he said, and so I reached into the sore and I took up the cross. I don't know of a better way to explain what our mission is. It's reaching into the pain in the world around us and taking up the cross and showing them the love of Christ by ministering to them and sharing with them and loving them and helping them. Look at this verse. Jesus replied, "Let me assure you that no one has ever given up anything for the love of me to tell others the good news who won't be given back 100 times over. You know what 100 times over is? 100 times over is 10,000% return on your investment. Now, that's pretty darn good interest. If you can find an investment today with that kind of interest, please tell me because I want to put my money over there. Right now, you're not going to find that anywhere. No, no way. But Jesus says, reach out, reach out. And number three, I must, if I'm going to complete my mission, I must care about the whole world. Jesus said to his followers this, go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone. Now, was Jesus just talking to pastors here? No. Was he just talking to missionaries here? No. He's talking to normal, everyday Christians like you and me. And he said, come on, I want you to go everywhere and tell people about Jesus. I want you to follow me and become fishers of men. That's what Jesus said. You know, this used to be impossible. There was a time not that long ago when it was really impossible for most people to go to the whole world. A few might, but not most. But today, it's all changed. Today, you can hop on a plane and be almost anywhere on the planet within 24 hours. Almost anywhere. And you can actually stay in your house, in your PJs, and reach out around the world through the internet. Yeah, through email, and chatting on websites and stuff like that. That's real evangelism. Because you got the whole, thank you. Thank you very much, I'll be here all week. Thank you. You know, we've got planes and ships and everything today to take us all around the world. Now, you know, I know what you're thinking. It's scary to think about doing this. And my first mission trip, you know, I only planned to do one. I was only going once, and I was just going to support my new outreach director down in Parker. We went to Myanmar. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm going to do this, fly the flag, then I'm going to come home and let other people go because I don't really want to do this. I had, before 2002, which was my first trip, I had absolutely no interest in missions myself. I wanted to support people to do that, let other people go out there and do it, but leave me out of it. I want to stay home. But, you know, after that first trip, my life completely changed in so many ways. And now I'm going back again for what I think the sixth time. And God can change your life. And believe me, if I can do this, anybody can do this. God can use you. But you have to be willing to let go of something. Look what Jesus says here. He says, if you insist on saving your life, you will lose it. Only those who throw away their lives for my sake and for the sake of the good news will ever know what it really means to live. If you really want to find out what it means to live as a Christian, get out of your comfort zone. You don't have to go anywhere out of kingdom to do that. For some of you, it might be talking to your neighbor or somebody at work or inviting them to church or inviting them to your small group if you're in one or just talking to them a little bit about your faith and what it means and begin to pray for them and plant seeds and hope that they open up their hearts enough so that you can share with them. You don't have to travel overseas. Now, you can, and I hope next year maybe a couple people will go with me. I go back to Myanmar, Lord willing, but you don't have to. But here's an interesting story that Rick Warren told about one of his trips to China. He said, I was in China, and we were there in Beijing, and we were invited to come and dialogue with the professors at Beijing University. Every communist leader in China is educated in Beijing, and about 50,000 students attend this university. We went and had a great dialogue and talked with a number of the faculty, and after it was all over, we took the provost, the number two of the university, out to lunch. We're going to call him Professor Joe. That's not his real name. He'd been a professor there for 50 years. In mathematics and economics and engineering. We began to talk, and I discovered, Rick Warren discovered, that he was dying of a brain tumor. And at that time, Warren's father was dying of cancer as well. So I said, Professor Joe, my dad is dying of cancer, but he's not afraid to die because he's made his peace with God. He knows where he's going when he dies. And so he began to tell him the story. And he said this story. He said there was a man who took his sons and his sons' three best friends to the carnival. And he bought a roll of tickets. And at each of the carnival rides, he would stop and he would give out a ticket to his son and to his son's three friends. And they were just going along doing that. They would ride the ride, then they'd go to the next ride, and he would give out the tickets again. Well, about the fourth or fifth ride, he looked down after he gave out the tickets, and there was another hand sticking out there wanting a ticket. He looked down, and he saw this little kid. And the kid said, "Who are you?" And the kid said, "I'm your son's new best friend." So he gave him a free ticket. And the dad said, "You think I gave him a ticket? You bet I did. I gave him a ticket." And then he said, "Professor Joe, your heavenly father has a ticket for you to heaven. It's a free ticket. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You'll never deserve it, but it's free. And you only get it by being a friend of his son, Jesus Christ." And he looked at this man who'd been a provost in one of the leading institutions in communist China for 50 years. And the man, lips were trembling and tears came to his eyes, and he said, "I would like one of those tickets." And so they finished their meal and they found a private place and they prayed together. And that man opened his heart to Jesus Christ. Who would have thought that in the heart of a communist educational institution, the gospel could touch a life? But it can. You never know the impact of what you say and what you do and how you say and do it. You never know the impact that will have on people. You are impacting people every day, and you may never know the outcome of that, but you're planting seeds which someday may result in them coming to Christ. Look at this verse. It says, "David served God's purposes in his own time." That's the only time we have to serve is the time we're alive, because when I'm dead, I can't serve God down here anymore. And did you know that in the next 365 days, approximately 2.4 million Americans will die, and most of them will go into eternity not knowing Jesus Christ. In the next 365 days around the world, approximately 54 million people in the world will die. And the vast majority of them will go into eternity not knowing Jesus Christ. And those numbers are so huge, they stagger the imagination. But if we care, we must share with these people. Send us around the world with the news of your saving power and your eternal plan for all mankind. That's Psalm 67. So look, this is our mission, to go out and share with people. And you don't have to have a PhD to do this. You don't have to be well-educated to do this. You don't have to be articulate to do this. You don't have to be anything to do this but willing to be used by God. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ and you're willing to be used by God, God will use you if you're willing to do something. I want to challenge you to pray the most dangerous prayer that you can pray. The most dangerous prayer that you can pray. And it's easy. You ready? Here's the prayer. God, use me. I dare you, in a moment when we pray together, I dare you to pray that prayer. I dare you to pray that prayer and then watch what God does in your life. God, use me. If you'll pray it and mean it, you may have quite a year coming your way. Quite a year. Are you ready to pray for God to use you? If you are, then I want you to stand with me, please. I want you to bow your heads. And I want you, as I pray, to pray with me and also pray that God will set your heart on fire to complete the mission he's given every single one of us. Father, I know as I stand here today that you've called all of us to complete the mission of sharing the good news with every person in every place on this planet. And I pray right now, God, that you will fill our hearts with the courage to say, God, use me, and to mean it. Help us, Lord, to be willing to take whatever steps you lead us in to be used by you. Father, more than anything else, I want to fulfill the purposes you made me for. So today, I accept this fifth purpose, my mission to tell other people about Jesus. I want you to use me, Lord, any time, any way, any place. I want to bring others to you. I want to serve your purposes in my generation, Lord. And I want to be part of what you're doing in the world. So from this day forward, God, I want to build my life around your eternal purposes. And I want to help this church do the same. Father in heaven, help me and help each person here reach one more for Jesus. Help us to touch and make an eternal difference in the lives of men and women in Kingman and in Arizona and in the United States and all around the world. And we ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.